Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. I'm the pastor of Foster Baptist Church on the mid-north coast of New South Wales in Australia. To start off today, I want us to think a little bit about posture. The posture we assume in any situation says a lot, would you agree? For instance, if I were to throw my hands in the air and scream, "Yes!" I think we'd all agree that I was obviously feeling elated, joyful, victorious, triumphant, that I had something to be really happy about. But if, on the other hand, I was to hang my head with my hands on top of my head moaning, we'd all agree it's a very different posture. We would rightly assume that I was experiencing great turmoil, great loss or grief. Imagine a posture of defiance. What does it look like? Well, for me, I see a person standing up straight with their hands down by their side, fists clenched, jaw forward and up, eyes staring straight ahead. I now want you to imagine a person, and it may be helpful to close your eyes, a person who is poor in spirit, a person who mourns, a person who is meek, a person who is hungry and thirsty for righteousness. What do they look like? A person who is showing mercy and making peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Can you see the person? More importantly, can you see the posture of the person who is receiving the blessing, the grace of God? They're not earning it. They're simply living in a way as to receive it. For kingdom blessings are available even to the poor in spirit, even to the meek, the sad and depressed. Later on in this same chapter, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." Now I want you to think about this last sentence very carefully. Think about what it means as far as grace is concerned. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Last week I said to you, grace is all about power. Grace is merciful behavior by a more powerful person toward another. God is all powerful. We, on the other hand, when compared to God, are utterly powerless. So God's merciful behavior toward us is grace, especially in light of the fact that our rebellion and sin is against his person, is exceedingly great. Grace upon grace upon grace. God's grace toward us is a wonderful blessing. Arguably, his greatest blessing is his overwhelming grace. God's grace toward us is a wonderful blessing. Jesus said he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Rain, you know, water falling from above. It's a really good metaphor for grace and blessing. God is raining down grace from above on the whole earth, on all of humanity, those who love and serve him, and also on those who hate him or are completely indifferent to him. Sunlight is another wonderful metaphor for God's grace. There would be no life on earth without sunlight. Sunlight and water are essential elements for life. Kent Hughes speaks in his wonderful commentary on James about the gravity of grace. I really like this image. Think about this. Grace works just like the way water flows on earth. Water always flows from the highest point to the lowest point. Every raindrop that falls on the highest mountain eventually, one way or another, finds its way to the ocean. Streamlets flow into streams which become rivulets, which become rivers. Rivers become mighty sources of life and blessing, stretching for thousands of kilometres across continents as they relentlessly make their way to the sea. So it is with God's grace. The gravity of grace carries it to the lowly in heart, where it brings life and blessing. Grace always flows to the humble. This is a spiritual law as reliable as God's law of gravity. Grace always flows to the humble. Last week, as we continued in our series in James's letter, we finished with verse 6, "But he gives us more grace." For the follower of Jesus, there is always grace upon grace. There is always more grace flowing from above. So as we think about grace in this way, let's open the letter from James to chapter 4, verse 6. "But he gives us more grace." That is why Scripture says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." James gives us some very clear directions about how we should stand before and respond to God's grace. He starts by giving us an overarching command. Submit yourselves then to God. He then gives us three kind of sub-commands. Resist the devil, draw near to God, and live in holiness. I'm going to talk about these sub-commands next week in more detail. This week I want to focus on what it means to submit oneself to God. James quotes here the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Have a look at this in the context of the surrounding verses. Once again, thinking about the flow of God's grace and our posture before him. In Proverbs 3, verse 33, it says, "The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favour to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honour, but fools get only shame. The defiant, unbowed soul stands proudly before God, receiving no benefit from God's grace, falling all around like rain and sunshine. It drips off him or her like rain from a bronze statue. But the soul humbly bowed before God is completely immersed in a sea of grace, not unlike the waters of baptism." I really want you to see this image. So whilst in God's economy there is always more grace, it is reserved for the lowly, the humble, the meek, the merciful, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It all comes down to our posture before God. James says, "Submit yourselves then to God." What does submitting to God look like on a day-to-day basis for us today? What does a posture of submission look like? Submission is a spiritual discipline, or today maybe a better expression is to say habit. Submission is a spiritual habit. By that I mean that it's something which we consciously choose to do in response to God. And in practicing this spiritual discipline, this habit, we confidently expect for God to meet us and for him, by his grace, to change our character to be more and more like his. Submission is living each and every day of your life as an apprentice of Jesus. That's what it means to be his disciple, his follower. It means to be his apprentices. Submission is learning from him how he would live your unique life. And it's always asking the questions, how would Jesus respond in this situation? How would he love this person? How would he speak to them? How would he listen to them? How would he care for them? Submission is about ordering your life, your priorities around his priorities. And that will often mean saying no to some good things so that you can be available to do the thing that Jesus is calling you to do, the better thing. Submission is about trusting God, trusting him with everything. Everything from our future, our reputation, our health, our finances, our emotional stability. It's trusting him for our happiness and our joy. Submission is about truly believing that Jesus knows best, that he knows more about everything than anyone who has ever lived. Now, submission is also about something which many of us will find very difficult. Submitting to God means that we submit to one another. This means that we willingly, consciously choose to place ourselves under the interests of others. This doesn't mean that we'll do something sinful or wrong, something, you know, degrading or harmful, if another person demands it of us. We have every right to maintain healthy boundaries. We know where we end and another begins. We know what is our responsibility and what is not. We won't let others guilt us into doing what they want us to do. But nevertheless, at the same time, we take very seriously Paul's words to the Philippians. These words encapsulate submission beautifully. Paul says, this is in Philippians 2, verse 3, he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but also to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Submission to God means that we, in humility, will value others above ourselves, always looking out for their interests ahead of our own interests, responding to them with the same love that God has shown to us. Can you see how submission to God is lived out as a commitment to fellowship with one another in his name? When we meet together, like we are today, when we share fellowship together, it's an act of submission. We choose to worship God together. We choose to sit under his word together. We choose to share our lives together. Now, this simply doesn't happen when we don't meet together regularly. If you come to church once every 3, 4, 5 weeks, we are not sharing our lives together. We're bumping into each other occasionally. Remember that submission is a spiritual discipline. We discipline ourselves to continually encourage and spur one another on to a life of service to God and others. The writer to the Hebrews said, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day," that's the day of the Lord, "approaching." That's Hebrews 10, verse 24. Submission to God means that we discipline ourselves to spur one another on to good works. That means that we simply consider other people. We pay attention to other people, and we discipline ourselves to ask, "How can I encourage this person in their walk with the Lord? How can I lead this person onto a path of love for others and good works? For that is the best life possible for them." So we discipline ourselves to come together every week to love one another. Let me give you just a few verses which speak to this issue of gathering together regularly. The first one from the book of Exodus gives us some guidance about how we should meet. I think God knows that our hearts and minds begin to wander after about 7 days. Every 7 days, we need to call one another back to God. In Exodus 20, it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God." It seems that the early church moved the weekly gathering from Saturday to Sunday in remembrance of the day that the Lord rose from the dead. For instance, we read in Acts 20, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread." Paul wrote to the Colossians about the tools of God to be used in the meetings. In Colossians 3, verse 16, he said, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. So we submit to God by regularly coming together and making this a priority in our lives, by worshipping together, encouraging one another, spurring one another on to good works, and listening to the Word of God together. For faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. It all comes down to our posture before God and one another, day after day, all the days of our life. Grace always flows down to those who humbly stand before God, submitting to Him and to each other. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, we need your help each and every single day. Help us to stand before you well. Help us to stand before you humbly, bowing in trusting obedience. May we bathe in your grace continually as we submit to one another as an expression of our love for you. Help us to see how we may encourage and spur one another on to a life of love and service. We bless you, Lord Jesus, for your unlimited grace. Amen. May the Lord bless you today.